June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples, breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Charlie Kirk, the late co-founder of Turning Point USA, made a name for himself by debating college students on topics like access to abortion, gun control, LGBTQ rights, and more. He aligned himself with the far right, openly criticized civil rights, and promoted a number of false conspiracy theories. But he managed to gain a substantial following online and built relationships with powerful figures like President Trump. In early 2025, shortly after Trump took office for the second time, Kirk and Turning Point USA launched the American Comeback Tour, where Kirk would travel across the country, hosting forums at what he described as, quote, one of the last strongholds of the left, the American University. But the tour was cut short on September 10th, 2025, when Charlie Kirk was shot in the neck during an event at Utah Valley University. He died the same day.
Breaking news, political activist and conservative media personality Charlie Kirk shot and killed while speaking at an event in Utah Valley University this afternoon.
In the weeks following Kirk's death, public figures across the U.S. grappled with how to handle Kirk's extremely controversial legacy. At Utah Valley University, the site of Kirk's murder, students and the state as a whole have been thrown into a complicated debate of their own. I'm Ian Mont. This week on Campus Files, Assassination on Campus. Should UVU memorialize Charlie Kirk?
What is up, cavemen?
Welcome back to Cave TV.
We've got a lot of amazing stuff for you guys today.
We'll be hanging out with student council.
Not to mention an interview with Andrew Sabat.
And we're going to be playing some fun games.
I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
And you're watching
Cave TV.
I went to American Fork High School, and we had a student broadcast program. We called it Cave TV because our mascot was a caveman.
This is Matthew Franke. He's currently a student at Utah Valley University, or UVU for short. UVU is a public school in Orem, a suburb of Provo. It's not officially a religious school, but being in Utah means it does have a pretty spiritual student body. It's only 10 minutes from Brigham Young University, after all. As for Matthew, back in high school, he helped produce Cave TV, the student news broadcast for American Fork High School. He enjoyed it so much that when he arrived at UVU, he was quick to join the student newspaper, the UVU Review. Matthew joined the UVU Review as a reporter in the fall of 2023. He wrote a few pieces in his first year, a movie review, a piece about some great horror games to play around Halloween, and a more newsy piece about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. entering the race for president in early 2023. And by the time he started his junior year, he'd been promoted to executive web producer. On the morning of September 10th, 2025, Matthew had a job interview in Provo, a town right next to the UVU campus.
I had interviewed with the company over in Provo. It was just like today, actually, it was Wednesday afternoon. And so once I was done with that, I was going to take a public transport over to UVU.
Matthew made it back to campus just before 12:30 p.m.
Yeah, when I showed up, I didn't even realize what was happening immediately. I saw like a lot of people. There's an underpass tunnel, and I saw like a lot of people coming out of it. So I was like, huh.
He couldn't recall it at the time, but Matthew had seen promos for a Turning Point USA event featuring Charlie Kirk to be held on campus that afternoon.
I saw a friend of mine and I was like, hey, you know, how's it going? Everything good? She's like, oh, well, there's an active shooter, you know, like really dissociated. And so then that's when I kind of finally started to notice, like, there were people that were screaming on their phones with their loved ones and, you know, just kind of like breaking down into tears. And then I finally heard there's a guy off to my left in white t-shirt kind of like screaming into his phone. He's like, I'm not kidding. You know, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Matthew was stunned, but after taking a beat to wrap his head around what was happening, he snapped into reporter mode.
I had just missed the shot by about 2-3 minutes. I kind of stewed on that for a second. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm a student reporter. I should probably do something. So I always keep my press badge in my backpack. And so I pulled that out and kind of pulled it on. We have a Teams channel. So when I threw on my lanyard, stuff like that, like my first message I sent out was like, is everybody okay? You know, we kind of made sure everybody's okay and they were in a safe location.
Thankfully, Matthew was able to confirm that the UVU review staff were all safe and accounted for.
I went through the underpass towards the Fugle Gateway, which is if you go directly through Fugle Gateway, you can get directly to the courtyard where it happened. And yeah, I just ran into more people and I started trying to interview people, but it was so chaotic. I mean, because as soon as I got over there, like a lot of the police cars had started arriving and I had the SWAT guys who didn't even necessarily look like SWAT to me immediately. I thought they were like National Guard because they were all like decked out in camouflage.
It was a much more chaotic situation to report on than Matthew had ever experienced. There had been hundreds of people on the scene. The shooter was still on the loose. Campus security, local police, and SWAT were working to cordon off evidence and track the shooter. And amidst all of this were hundreds of students and members of the public, still terrified and reeling from what they had witnessed. Up until this point, Matthew's work as a student reporter had been a way to have fun. And now he's standing in the midst of an active crime scene.
So what I was really kicking myself for was I was trying to like take some photography and stuff like that, you know, for an article story, but I just kind of couldn't bring myself to do it. I know as far as like being a journalist goes, like there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking those kinds of photos, but it's taking photos of really terrible thing happening and people kind of in their worst moments. It just felt really weird.
Matthew did manage to interview a number of witnesses, including one student who agreed to help him get off campus when he was ready to go.
So we kind of continued chatting on the way back to the train station. He was in the middle of processing a lot because I guess he himself had been in a few active shooter situations. And so this brought up a lot for him. And so I was like, oh man, yeah, this is really feeling real all of a sudden. And so he was telling me about his experience. He was in kind of like the front rows and he was describing watching a man die, essentially.
UVU canceled classes for the rest of the week after the shooting and gradually began reopening in mid-September. On the week they returned, Matthew remembered seeing an announcement from UVU's administration.
It was the end of the week when they had made the announcement.
The announcement read, quote, following the assassination of Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University on September 10th, 2025, the university is creating a committee to develop a memorial. It went on to invite students to share their thoughts and ideas. The wording made it seem like a memorial was a sure thing. But for some in the UVU community, this idea was unacceptable. After all, while Kirk was an advocate of free speech, he used his free speech to promote a number of harmful ideas, like the notion that some gun deaths are worth it, or that Martin Luther King Jr. was an awful person. He was also a proponent of conspiracy theories like the Great Replacement, which claims white people are intentionally being replaced as part of some sort of grand plan. So UVU students who less than 2 weeks earlier had experienced an active shooter and witnessed a murder, they now had to wrestle with the question of whether or not to build a memorial to Charlie Kirk. The days after Charlie Kirk's death were intense for the staff of the UVU Review.
They cleared out campus and everything. And so we kind of started to regroup a little bit and try and figure out, well, okay, we've got to piece something together. Like, what do we know? Then we started getting like just a ton of emails and phone calls and stuff like that from other news organizations.
By the time you're listening to this, you may have forgotten just how crazy things got.
So we knew it was going to be like a relatively big story because we were aware that he had like a, you know, pretty large social media presence. But it blowing up to the scope that it has, there was no way that we could have anticipated that at all.
Kirk was a controversial figure, to say the least, and his death triggered extreme reactions. Trump spoke in an address from the Oval Office, and ABC temporarily pulled Jimmy Kimmel's show after he claimed conservatives were trying to score points off Kirk's death. Kirk's death had become another battle in the ongoing culture war between the right and the left. But for Matthew and other students at UVU, the controversy and pain were much more close to home.
When I got back to campus, like there were people putting together like a little, you know, memorial type stuff, like bringing photos and flowers and writing chalk and stuff all over campus. It was all over the courtyard. And then that already was really just kind of powerful, seeing people come together and say like this was a terrible thing.
The middle of September was very quiet on the UVU campus. Class had been temporarily canceled, but Matthew had a campus job, so he came back before most.
It was really dead for the first couple of days. People like sort of trickled back in because nobody really wanted to be there after that had happened. And the whole atmosphere for a little while was just really kind of tense because everyone was kind of super on edge. You could kind of see like people were sort of looking down at their feet, not trying to make eye contact with anybody.
While the country had erupted into a loud and intense fight over what to make of Charlie Kirk's death, the campus at UVU was quiet, tense, and on edge.
They've been working on doing some construction for the there's a dance studio. And one of the construction workers, I'm pretty sure, dropped a sheet of plywood, but it had like a really loud bang. And so that kind of made everybody like jump a little bit, like what's going on?
To their credit, UVU administrators quickly brought in resources for students. Free counseling, therapy animals, walking buddies to safely escort students around campus, and even care stations with water, snacks, and resources available around campus.
Because, you know, this is the kind of thing where some people, they either can process it pretty quickly and it kind of just hits them like a freight train immediately, or it kind of stews for a little while and it builds until, you know, they don't have any choice but to deal with it.
But when Matthew saw the announcement about a possible memorial, less than 2 weeks after Kirk's death, it seemed notable.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what's going on there. So I started doing a little more digging. I tried to work with the university and kind of get what information I could.
The announcement was a bit light on details. It gave the names of two people who would co-chair the committee, a UVU trustee and a member of the State Board of Education.
As soon as I started doing a little bit of digging, I found the fundraiser. It was a givesendgo.com fundraiser and really kind of made me curious that it was Senator Daniel McKay who had launched it.
GiveSendGo is a Christian and conservative alternative to GoFundMe, the crowdfunding website. It's got much looser content moderation and has been used to raise money for anything from January 6th defendants to Luigi Mangione, the alleged shooter of the United Healthcare CEO. The day after Kirk was shot, Utah State Senator Daniel McKay created a GiveSendGo fundraiser seeking $150,000 to fund a memorial to Charlie Kirk on the UVU campus. Shortly after, McKay was invited to join the memorial committee at UVU. State Senator McKay visited campus and then spoke about the memorial in a podcast interview with KUTV, the Salt Lake City CBS station.
The one thing I thought that was really interesting is because I then got to tour around the geography of, you know, of the campus and what happened. And it was amazing. There were a number of people like, I didn't agree with Charlie, but I really appreciated the way, you know, he debates or, you know, has these conversations. We need more of them, that kind of stuff. I was enlightened.
Listening to this interview, I was struck by the response of one of the co-hosts, Mara Carabello. In addition to co-hosting this show, Carabello is a political advisor in Utah. I think her response to State Senator McKay helps put into words the complicated feelings many on and off campus had about a possible memorial.
This was a private citizen, albeit a really influential private citizen. And this person was intentionally electrically charged. I don't want to say divisive because I don't want to put him in a negative. He was intentionally evocative. I mean, his very speech was set up to sort of be a challenge, right? Prove me wrong. So he lost his life, and I want to respect that. But I do know that when you're bringing people together, you can't bring them together around a divisive figure. And I do know that if we're going to represent Utah, the conversation needs to feel like it's broader to me. And we have to ask ourselves the question about what it is we're memorializing. There was a really interesting quote from a student who was like, I don't know, I feel like we're canonizing this person, not talking about the ideals in which maybe he represented. Again, I'm not trying to minimize him, but—
So how do you do it right if they're going to do something?
Well, one, you don't have the conversation 2 weeks out.
Carabello argues that this idea is way too early. State Senator McKay responds.
I will just say the hard part is everybody's fine with a George Floyd plaza. There's like 8 George Floyd statues around various places in this country, right? And we can all agree he was being arrested and not a great stand-up individual based on his criminal record. But for some reason, the country felt it was really, really important to memorialize him and where he died. And until not long ago, there was a mural here dedicated to him here in Utah.
McKay and others have pointed to memorials of victims of police violence, like George Floyd, when criticized for their desire to memorialize Kirk, in spite of the differences between the two figures. Floyd was not a politically active figure when he became the victim of a centuries-long pattern of police abuses. He was memorialized not because of who he was, but because his death captured the public attention for a national crisis of racialized police violence. In contrast, Kirk openly and intentionally created conflict. He raised the political temperature by openly vilifying others, including George Floyd. Some of his last words accused transgender Americans of being predisposed to violence. And in a political environment where so much is made of what ideas should and shouldn't be allowed on campus, it's a reasonable question to ask what good a memorial to Kirk would do, and what ideas that memorial would promote.
I try not to have get reactions to that kind of stuff, you know, because you're supposed to remain as neutral and unbiased as possible.
This is Matthew Franke, the UVU Review reporter.
But I guess my initial thought was kind of, well, that worries me a little bit, because if it was something that were to depict his lightness, I think that would kind of stir up a little bit more division across campus.
Shortly after the memorial idea was proposed, a group of students organized a protest. Matthew went to cover the protest.
It was surprisingly difficult to find people who were actually in support of it. There's also a good amount of people who are afraid about retaliation and sharing their opinion on the topic. Even if they are necessarily in support of it, someone might not think that they're in support enough of it. And so the same goes for, you know, as well for people who are against it as well. You know, there's a lot of people who are in the LGBTQ minority on campus as well, who don't feel safe expressing their opinions for that reason.
Matthew and other UVU Review reporters have covered Kirk's death and the reaction on campus with a lot of care. In one case, they recorded anonymous interviews with students about their feelings returning to campus.
Coming back to campus has been sad, but it has also been really cool. To the community, for the love and happiness was coming together, and hopefully
I just say that this isn't the way. We need to come together as one and just be.
I think after tragedies like this, we all kind of realize that we are all children of God and we're all united in Christ, and we all want to help.
I think it's devastating what happened, but I'm honestly disgusted that everyone's comparing him to Christ.
We all want to help and share and spread the love. And so there really has been a cool spirit here on campus. I think we've seen a lot of love and a lot of beauty and a lot of service.
Converse, talk. That's the only way we're going to make it as a society.
As someone who grew up believing in Jesus Christ and someone who still tries to follow his principles, he was the complete opposite of who Jesus Christ is.
Of course, the campus was still reeling. People's opinions and thoughts on Kirk and his death were being closely policed, not just on campus, but across the country.
Do you have a sense of which argument is winning out more on campus?
My gut is saying that it's in favor.
Matthew thinks most students support some kind of memorial, but that doesn't mean they support any kind of memorial.
general consensus actually kind of seems to be like, well, we agree that it wouldn't necessarily be good to create something with his likeness.
When considering the story, I can't help but think back to the push to take down Confederate memorials. This debate at UVU centers around more or less the same question of what we're comfortable memorializing. A memorial that centers Charlie Kirk's name and likeness is fundamentally different from one without. Because, like a statue to Robert E. Lee, a memorial centered around a person valorizes them and all that comes with them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. With Robert E. Lee, there is far more bad and ugly than there is good. After all, he dedicated his life to ensuring slavery continued, hence the push to take down memorials. Now, Charlie Kirk was no Confederate general, but there are many in this country and on the UVU campus that felt endangered by his rhetoric. And even without a memorial, the UVU campus has felt at times unsafe in the months since.
One of the things that's kind of had a lot of students on edge a little bit is that campus has become very much a tourist hotspot.
It's not uncommon for the site of a murder to become a tourist attraction. The Ford Theater, where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, is a tourist attraction to this day. But what's unique about the situation is that many of the tourists motivated to visit UVU are also the sort of people whose presence can feel dangerous to some students, like transgender students, LGBTQ students, immigrants, or any of the communities that Kirk and his followers openly attacked and vilified.
So a lot of people have expressed feeling uncomfortable with people bringing their families to come see where it happened. You know, some of those minorities, again, talking about how they feel less safe seeing a bunch of people wearing, you know, red Make America Great Again ball caps walking around campus.
The memorial question is an incredibly complicated one, especially given that a memorial would make a temporary tourist attraction into a permanent one. It's true that September 10th, 2025 was a monumental day in Utah and at UVU, and there are certainly lessons to be learned and takeaways to memorialize. But those lessons and takeaways are wrapped up in countless layers of meaning which it will take many years to begin to unravel. The rush to memorialize Kirk began less than a day after his death, well before it can be looked at with the clear eyes only years of hindsight can give. Personally, I can't help but wonder how different Kirk's role in American history will look in 10 or 20 years, and whether a monument would still feel like a good idea then. If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese-Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner. Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.